For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now, we are coming out of a conversation called Freedom that we've been in for the past 6 weeks. And we're also looking forward to Easter. And I love how this has come together because as we come out of freedom and look forward to Easter, we find ourselves at the perfect story. For those of you who don't know, today is historically, traditionally called Palm Sunday. And it's a time to remember a moment in Jesus' life, in Jesus' story. It's about the time in which Jesus enters Jerusalem just shortly before he gives his life for us. And it's an interesting moment in Jesus' life because the excitement about who he is has been building and building and building, and the crowds that are following him are getting larger and larger and larger, and he's beginning to make his way toward Jerusalem. And as this is happening, there's this anticipation of what's going to happen when he actually gets there. And the anticipation is building. And the people have seen who he is, and they've seen what he can do. And they know he's unstoppable. You're talking about somebody that can take just a handful of food and feed thousands of people. You're talking about somebody who can command the wind and waves to stop. You're talking about somebody that they have seen raise another person from the dead. They know you can't stop him. He can do whatever he wants to do. And he's making his way towards Jerusalem, and they are beginning to look forward to him establishing himself as the king. And they're convinced when he gets to Jerusalem, this is what he's going to do. He's going to establish himself as the king. He's going to take for himself the authority that should be his. And so, as he approaches Jerusalem on that day, the crowds flock to him. And they welcome him into Jerusalem as they would a king. Jesus knows that this is happening. He knows what's about to happen. And he does something really powerful that I want to draw our attention to today because I think it speaks to where we are as we come out of this conversation of freedom and look forward to Easter. Let me take you to the story. It's found in all of the Gospels, or the story of Jesus' life, but I want to take you specifically to Matthew's. For those of you who don't know who Matthew is, Matthew was originally a tax collector, someone that people despised. Most of them were known as thieves. Most of them were thieves. But Matthew had experienced the grace of Jesus and Jesus' amazing love, and he'd become one of Jesus' closest followers. As he's telling us the story of Jesus' life, he says this in Matthew chapter 21. It says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. He says, okay, we're going to do this, guys, but we're going to do this a little bit differently. What I want you to do is I want you to go into the city. I want you to bring back this donkey and its colt. You're going to see it there. I've already worked everything out. Just bring it back to me, and this is how we're going to enter. As it continues, it says, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest. And this crowd flocks to him. They're shouting this out, and they're speaking to him becoming the king when they say the Son of David. They're talking about he's a rightful heir to the throne. He's going to become the king. And Jesus knows what they expect. And in this moment, he does something really powerful. He sends for the donkey and the colt. And in this situation, he's calling back to, did you see the quote inside of the passage? where it says, this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He's humble, riding on a donkey. He sends them to go get the donkey's colt because he's referencing back to a prophecy that was written long before he was born. It's found in the book of Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 9, it says this. It says, rejoice, O people of Zion, or Israel. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. This is the quote. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And then listen to what it says as it continues. It says, I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. Jesus knew what they expected. He knew what they anticipated. And so he sends for this donkey's colt. And he says, this is how we're going to enter. And in doing so, he calls back to this passage. In doing so, he says, I know that you think that I've come, to claim my authority, but I want for you to recognize that I've come to bring peace. They expect him to come in and to take the authority that was his. And these processions were common in this culture. This was a culture of conquering heroes. But you didn't ride in on a donkey, you rode in on a war horse. The king would come in on a war horse and demand what was rightfully his and communicate his power and his strength. But instead, Jesus says, no, we're going to do this a little bit differently. I want for you to go and get a donkey's colt. And he rides in the very way in which he enters Jerusalem. He's calling back to this truth that, listen, I know you think that I'm going to use my power to take authority. I know that you think I'm going to use it to conquer. He says, but I'm here. I'm here to bring peace. It's the very thing that was said about him when he was born. He's come to bring peace. Again, he reiterates, I've come to bring peace. And I love how he does it because there's something subtle about this picture that many of us miss. We miss it because we don't understand the context of the story. We come from a very different culture. So for many of you, when you hear this idea of a colt, it means nothing to you. It just sounds like maybe it was a younger donkey. I don't understand the difference between the donkey and the colt. What's the big deal? There's something really unique that Jesus is doing here when he sends for the colt. It's not just about the prophecy. He's communicating something. Now, again, I know for most of us, we miss this because I'm willing to bet that for most of you, you've never seen a donkey in real life, let alone know what a donkey's colt is. We don't have a lot of farming experience here in Hoboken, and so these passages sometimes can escape us. We don't see the significance of them. But I grew up on a farm. And this moment, what he's talking about is not just the fact that this was a younger donkey. He's talking about the fact that this is a donkey that had never been ridden before. This was an animal that had never been ridden before. When it comes to horses and donkeys, when they learn how to be ridden, it's called being broke. If you break a horse, now you can ride it, or a donkey. This would have been an animal where that didn't happen. And again, I know most of us don't have a lot of experience with that. I'm betting not many of you have ever broke a horse or a donkey. But fortunately for you, I have. Or at least I've tried. And I can tell you that it is far more difficult than you probably think. I remember the first time that I tried this process, I was about 12 years old, and we had a horse on the farm that I grew up on named Casper. Casper was about half broke, so he was about halfway through the process, and my cousins and I were 12 years old, and we thought we would finish this process. And So we tried to get on this horse. We tried and tried and tried, tried everything. We could not get on this horse. He was so skittish, we just couldn't get on, let alone try to stay on. So we tried and tried and tried, couldn't figure it out, couldn't figure out how to climb on. And so we finally came up with a genius idea that if we can't climb on, maybe we can drop on. So we climbed a tree, my cousin and I, and we climbed out on this low-hanging branch, and we said to our other cousin, listen, lead him underneath us, and then we will drop down, and we will stay on. You guys think these things only happen in movies. They actually don't. They happen in real life. And so he begins to lead the horse underneath us, but the horse isn't dumb, and the horse has eyes. So the horse sees us on the branch and says, no, 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 I'm not doing it. And he won't move underneath us. And he's pulling on him and pulling on him. We're trying everything to get him to move underneath us. And we didn't think it was going to work. But then we remembered that my cousin had a younger brother. So we said to his younger brother, who was about 10 at the time, go behind the horse and push him under us. Donnie, go behind the horse and push him. We didn't know for sure if it would work, but he went behind and he started to push the horse, and the horse actually moved. It moved right underneath us. And we're like, this is amazing. This is great. And he starts to walk underneath us, and we knew he probably wasn't going to stop. So we just dropped down on the back of this horse. And that horse launched my cousin about 20 yards through the air. I've never seen a human being fly like that before. And all of us went scattering in different directions because the horse took off, and obviously we didn't stay on it. My cousin had 2 hoof prints on his chest for no lie, no less than 2 months, right? You guys are like, oh, as little kids, we were like, that's awesome. You are the man. That is incredible. He showed everybody he knew, everybody he knew. The point is this, you don't ride an animal that's never been ridden before. You don't just sit down and ride into Jerusalem on an animal that's never been ridden before. Here's the really subtle part of this story. And I love how Jesus does this. He knows what they expect, but he doesn't come in on a war horse. He comes in on a donkey's colt. And in doing so, he says this, yeah, you're right, I have the power. And I can do things that no one else can do. And even in this moment, he's displaying his power. It doesn't matter that no one's ever ridden this animal before. It listens to and obeys me. You're right. I have the power. But I'm not going to use the power to conquer. I'm going to use the power to bring peace. You're right, I have the power. But power is not meant to be used against people. It's meant to be used for people. And once again in this moment, he steps into the way that we understand the world, the way that we think about power and authority, the way that we think about the world around us, and he turns it upside down. I could come and conquer. I could come and demand the authority that is rightfully mine. But I'm not here to divide, I'm here to unite. And he teaches us an amazing lesson about power. It's something that he's been telling his disciples over and over and over again, that power is going to be different for you. It's not going to be something that you use against people, it's going to be something that you use for people. It's not going to be something that you use to rip people apart, but something that you use to bring people together. And even in this moment, he's communicating that. I have the power, but I'm not going to use it against you. I'm going to use it for you. And he could have come and demanded that he be Lord. But instead, he chose to be a servant. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't just enter Jerusalem that day in that way. He enters every single one of our lives the very same way. And he could step in and demand that he be Lord. It is his rightful place. But instead, he became our servant. And he went to that cross and he gave his life so that you and I could have peace with him. Some of you are here today and you're trying to explore what this whole Jesus thing is about. And I want to let you know something. What we're talking about right now, it's not just for those who have it together. It's not just for those who've made the right decisions. This is available for you no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. Jesus is stepping into your story. He's riding into your story full of power for the purpose of peace. For the purpose of peace. That for all of eternity, there would never be anything that would come between you and him again. That for all of eternity, you could know that every moment he's for you. He rides into every single one of our lives this way. And as we come together on this Palm Sunday, I take us back to that story because here's the thing. This is who we get to introduce people to. This is who we get to introduce people to. As we look forward to Easter and the conversations this week, as we invite people to be a part of that day with us, this is what we get to introduce people to. And sometimes when we talk about sharing our story, we get caught up in the idea that we're introducing people to a concept or a theory. We don't introduce people to a concept or a theory. We introduce people to Jesus. We introduce people to a person. The person who rode into Jerusalem that day. And although he had all power at his fingertips, he chose to become a servant and give his life to bring peace. This is who we get to introduce people to. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I want for you to be my witnesses. He actually says, you will be my witnesses. Anthony called me to this. When Jesus talks to them about being his witness, he doesn't actually communicate it to them as a command. He doesn't actually communicate it to them like, I want you to do this. It's more of, no, this is going to be a natural thing for you. Because here's the thing about it. When you get excited about something, you share it. If you get excited about something, you share it. And usually the people around you get annoyed because you won't stop talking about it. You just keep talking about it. You're constantly talking about it. It's natural. When we get excited about something, we share it. But sometimes I think for us, either we haven't experienced Jesus entering our life like that, we haven't accepted that, or for those of us who have, we forget the incredible message that we get to share. We forget how he rode into our life that way. We forget that Jesus doesn't enter our lives as a tyrant, but he enters our lives as a servant. That we don't introduce people to someone who's come to conquer, but we introduce people to someone who embodies love. Jesus says, when you see who I am, and we have, when we remember who he is, then we become his witnesses and we share the story. We share the story over and over and over and over again with anyone and everyone that can listen. But I think sometimes we forget. Sometimes we buy into the idea that it's a theory or a concept. And I just want to call us back today. I just want to call us back today to that reality of how Jesus stepped into our lives. With all that power, and yet he came to bring peace. To call you back to that, for you to remember it yourself. So that as you step into those conversations this week, it's just natural. I just want to share my story with anybody and everybody who can hear. I want to share the story of Jesus because there is no better story on the planet than the story of Jesus. There's this old song that says, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. It's a song that I learned when I was a child. It runs through my head frequently, just from time to time. And it's usually the result of me remembering just how amazing he is. And this morning, I want to call you back to how amazing he is. And as we look at engaging our community with who he is and sharing that story with them, I want to move you past that hesitation. If there's any hesitation in your life to share that story with your coworker or to share that story with a family member or to move you past that because you recall again the one who wrote into your story as a servant who wrote in with incredible power but who wrote in for the purpose of peace. To recall the freedom that he brought and how he's continuing to make you new from the inside out. May we be constant witnesses. May we love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. May we be unstoppable witnesses to the one who rode into our story with incredible power for the purpose of peace. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look forward to Easter and we look forward to the opportunities that we'll have this week to be able to share our story with those around us, Father, I pray that we would move past the hesitation. I pray that the lie that we share, a theory or a concept, that we would let go of it and that we would grab hold of the story that you have made possible in every single one of our lives. That we would remember again, not just how you rode into that city, but how you stepped into our lives. And may we share the story of who you truly are. May we share the story of who you truly are over and over again, really, really well. In Jesus' name.